Good morning. And the hits just keep on coming. You ever heard that line? You ever felt that line? Have you ever spoken that line? We take hits all the time. We take hits in life. We take hits in sports, athletics. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And we do our best not to allow those hits to affect us. In sports, we use protection all the time. Skateboarding. When I do go skateboarding anymore, I look like a plastic man. Because if I die, my wife will kill me. So I wear a helmet, elbow pads, knee pads, wrist guards. It is very uncool. But it is cool to come home being able to speak. We use protection in all kinds of things. Football. I was talking with Steve Founis this week and talking about football. In the olden days, they used leather helmets. Think of football players running at each other, hitting each other with leather helmets. Then those helmets graduated a little bit and they got a little bit better. The padding changed. Nowadays, there's all kinds of advancements, and they wear, you know, face masks and everything. The resources are great in combat. In ancient times, years ago, I mean, it was like cloth, right? They had hardly anything. Then they were able to get sticks and leather and wood and wrap things around fabric. Then they learned how to deal with steel and metal. All trying to give resources to protect themselves from hits that come, from battles that wage. And there are times that we need protection, but not necessarily like swords and clubs and skateboard ramps and concrete and arrows. There are times when the hits just keep on coming. Sometimes it's financial. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes financial hits just keep on coming. When's it going to stop? Sometimes it's relational issues. Sometimes the people you're supposed to be closest with, the hits just keep on coming. Sometimes it's health issues. When's it going to stop? When's it going to go away? Sometimes it's in your mind. Sometimes we battle the thoughts, just the thoughts over and over all day. Sometimes we battle with depression, anxiety, fears, worries. We fight. We fight with our fists. We fight with our words. We fight with books. We fight with TV shows. And there's also spiritual battles that wage war that we can't see, but we feel it. You ever felt it when you can't see it? You ever wake up feeling it? You ever get knocked off your feet and you weren't expecting it? You just didn't see it, and now you're struggling. You ever feel like you can't catch a break? Sometimes we feel like we're underwater. What do you do? What do you do when a challenge comes, when a battle comes? How do we face battles? I have an idea. I had an idea. So I have this new idea for our church, for each of us.
That's not the new. It's not really new, right? This is the West Cypress new protective gear, better known as WCCNPG. So my idea is that every one of us will go online, Amazon, whatever it takes, find out your size, your height, your weight, whatever it takes, and we'll all order these. And we'll put them on and we'll walk around and life will just be easy. We won't have to battle anymore. We won't have to fight anymore. All the onslaught that comes, right? It'll just go away. Think that'll work? Okay, scratch that. What if we just put it in front of our door? Like, hey, I don't know what you're selling. I tell you what, I've already walked by it twice and gotten scared myself. So
Like, it just literally, it just comes. I had it in here Friday. I think Karen got scared by it too. Like it's just like this. Oh, dude, like, wow, there's. I mean, so it would probably scare people in your front yard. But you know, it's probably not going to help us much. Financial issues? Not going to work. Relational issues? Maybe. But probably not. Probably not, especially when your voice does that. Puberty issues? No. Health issues? Uh-uh. Spiritual issues? No. So what do we do? It's not really a help at all. So what do we do when we have struggles? What do we do when the struggles, you can swear that you can take care of it yourself, yet next year, it's the same. You swear the next day it's going to get better, but it doesn't. You'll get smarter, you'll get faster, you'll get stronger, you'll get healthier. The battle's still there. You ever, check this one out, you ever get over that hump, you're like, wow, I got past that, and then the battle just changes? There's this thought, I don't like to bring this up anymore because I'm learning, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. There are some, Teresa can probably correct me, but there are some that say, therapists, you don't really fix it unless God does a miracle. You just get better at monitoring it and managing it, but when you think you get past something, it just pops up somewhere else. You ever have that? You kind of get past an issue, and it just pops up somewhere else. We wonder, what do we do with that? We're going to talk about spiritual battle this morning. The battle that is not physical. The battle that this thing will not help you with. The battle that we face all the time, whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we believe it or not. Yet it disguises itself in physical things. It disguises itself in front of us in things we can see or we think. And last week, Pastor Brian did a phenomenal job at walking through this spiritual battle that we have in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. And he said, we do not battle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But against the, I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. That is the battle we wage every day. Every single day. And if you don't think you face it, then you're oblivious. I say that with all due respect and love. So this week, this morning, this hour right now, we're going to look at what God tells us about our armor, about our resources. What can we do spiritually to fight this battle? So if you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to read all of the New Testament. Just kidding. We're going to read chapter 6 in Ephesians, verse 10 to 18. I'm going to read the three verses that Pastor Brian went through last week to kind of give us some context to throw us right in the midst of this situation that Paul is writing about. Ephesians 6. Starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord God, You are our warrior. You are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer in times of need. You fight our battles. You give us the strength to stand. This morning, Lord, I pray that you impart to us the knowledge of you. The knowledge of how you work in our lives and what you call us to do. What our part is. Lord, help us to allow your word to be authority in our lives. Help us to walk out of here changed. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. It's an awesome passage. If it's not underlined in your Bible and you're okay with underlining, I suggest you underline it, highlight it, circle it, write it on your wall, tattoo it on your forehead. That would look really weird. Just do it in skin tone. So when people are like, I don't know. Paul is kind of wrapping up this letter to the church in Ephesus. And he gets to the spot where he says, finally, he's getting to this kind of big point. And he talks about the armor of God, what we need to take up, what we need to wear in order to stand against the schemes of the devil. But the bottom line today, we have a slide for this. We need to take up the whole armor of God if we want to stand firm against the devil. Think about this. I'll say it backwards. But if you want to stand firm against the devil, we need to take up the whole armor of God. We're going to look at how that plays out, but that should be enough right there. What is Paul saying here? Paul's bringing us into this understanding of the spiritual fight. He's bringing us into the understanding that we can't do it on our own. Some of you are really, really strong. And you can lift a lot. You can probably punch a lot. Some of you are smart. You can think a lot. You can reason a lot. You can teach a lot. Some of you are fast and quick, and you can get away from a lot. Those things don't help us in this battle. Sometimes we're overestimating the power of ourselves because we're so strong in certain areas that we think we can strengthen our way out of it. We think we can think our way out of it. We think we can reason our way out of it. When really what we need to do is pray and allow God to take us out of it. It's actually a spiritual fight not to fight ourselves. Not to fight by ourselves. We want to fight by ourselves. We just go out. It's almost like if you think of a, let's say 2,000 years ago, think there was a battle. Think of a dude in a house, and he hears that the battle's coming, and he just runs out the door with no armor, no weapon, no nothing, just runs to fight. That's often the way we approach the devil. It's often the way we respond to the devil, and we end up getting kicked in the head. You ever been kicked in the head by the devil? If you haven't, you need to write a book and teach me how it works. First thing I want us to see is there is a battle at hand. That's the first point. There is a battle at hand. The enemy is real. The battle is happening. Do not be oblivious to this fact, or you might get beat up spiritually. Paul is saying, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of the heavenly places. Then he uses this word, therefore, which is like, because of this, in response to the fact that there's this spiritual battle, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. My friends, you may be living in a hole. But even if you were in that hole, I bet you would understand that we're living in an evil day. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. This isn't a surprise. But we shouldn't be surprised when the fight comes to our door. Part of our issue is that it is a surprise when the fight comes to our door. We're not ready. We don't realize there's a battle at hand. We wake up thinking, guess what? I live in la-la land. I live everywhere where things are going to massage me. Weather's going to be 70. I'm going to go outside in the sun and not get sunburned. Everyone's going to love me. Everyone's going to give to me. Everything is free. I get what I want, when I want, how I want, and life is cheery. Anyone have that? Nah, it doesn't work that way. But sometimes we go out and we operate in that. And then we get hit in the head. But we should be expecting, and the reason I said it is, Because God's telling us to put on the armor. God would not tell us to put on the armor if it wasn't needed. Right? Like if God put us in a spot and he's like, there is no enemy, he wouldn't say, but take up all of this armor. No, there is an enemy. There is a fight. There is a battle. 1 Peter 5:8, I think we have the slide. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Jerry, if you can, click it again or something, make it stand up there. Just look at that verse on the screen. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What unique imagery Peter's using here. A prowling lion waiting to eat somebody. Do not let the pitchfork and the cape on cartoons make you think differently about who the enemy is. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He has schemes. He is smart. He will slide in next to you at work, on the freeway, in your home, in your brain, definitely on your cell phone. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Half the time, I think we don't even recognize that there is a battle. We don't recognize the onslaught. And if you're anything like me, you just go swinging. You just go swinging like you're gonna win. Like it is some bully on the playground. You know, you're thinking, swinging, screaming, kicking, dancing, if that's how you dance, fight, what's up? Whatever you do, however you fight, you're just doing that. And guess what? That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you to think, you got this, right? Pull them out. Just fight that way. Pull out your wallet. Fight that way, right? Pull out your reasoning. Just think your way through it. If the devil can keep us doing that, we're going to lose every time. Every time. It's interesting that Paul doesn't say, hey, pull up your knowledge. Pull up your book smarts. Pull up your strength. Pull up your biceps. Run as fast as you can, and that way you can outrun the devil. Because he can only run 13 miles an hour, and if you can get to 14, woo! Your life is golden. But that's not what Paul says. Prowling lion is a scary thing if you don't have the armor to protect yourself. Ah, welcome the armor of Christ. Welcome the armor of God. Ephesians 5, remember what Paul said just a chapter ago? You can look in your Bibles. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Be wise. Make the best use of your time. The days are evil. They're not going to be evil at some point. They are evil. So we need to be wise. There's a battle at hand, and we need to be able to stand. Next point, we need to stand firm. It's really not an option. It's like you tell your child, you need to look both ways before they cross the street. You need to do that, or you're going to get flattened. We need to stand firm, or the enemy will come and flatten us. He'll flatten you with all kinds of things, temptations for all kinds of stuff. Some of us are tempted by money. Some of us are tempted by stature. Some of us are tempted by the letters that come after our name on the business card. Some of us are tempted by sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Some of us are tempted by popularity. God knows that we have temptation, and he gives us strength and spiritual armor and wants us to stand. The devil usually doesn't just come with some erroneous, weird, out of the blue temptation that you're going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to steal a house today. That's just not something I struggle with. But you struggle with something. And if you do struggle with houses, stealing houses, I don't know what that looks like. Just, right? You get what I'm getting at here. The devil's a smart dude. We need to stand firm. We must. God does not want us to fall down. He does not want us to get beat up. He doesn't want us to give up either. 1 Corinthians 16, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men, be strong. This applies to women too. Strong men and women in the Lord. Don't forget there's a battle. But here's the cool thing. When we feel weak, it's because we're relying on ourselves. God still has this strength tank that doesn't empty. It's worth a shirt right there. God's strength tank doesn't empty. It's when we rely on ourselves that we start to get depleted. Like, man, Lord, I'm struggling. That's probably because, Brandon, you're fighting on your own. You're pulling your fists out. You're pulling your knowledge out. You think you're cool. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He's saying, you're not going to have to make it. I'm going to make it for you. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to strengthen you. The fight is coming. I got you. God will help us. God will fight for us. God will uphold us. He wants us to stand strong. Multiple times the Bible says, hold fast. In Hebrews, hold fast to the confession, to your faith, to what you believe in, to the Lord. Stay with it. Hold strong. Do not waver. Think of a little brother walking through a neighborhood. If he's got his big brother walking with him, whatever. Confidence. Maybe sometimes too much, right? Big brother's like, hey, I can't do that guy. So, it's different though. When you know you got someone in your back pocket that has your protection. If we get into trouble, I'll take care of it. You stand behind me. What if you understood that you walk around with God with you? And God's probably saying, hey, I need you to do this. I want you to do that. I'd like you to do that. Make sure you don't do that. Oh, I got this fight. Hang on. Why are you walking in front of me? I got this fight. Why are you trying to pull out your fists? I got this fight. Think of the little brother running in front of his big brother. I got it, big bro. No, you don't. Stand behind me. I got this. Yet, most of us just come out swinging. We need to stand firm. And if you look at your Bibles, stand is repeated. Stand, stand, stand. Paul is telling us, you got to stand. Again. Jerry, can you put on the AC a little bit? I'm going to drown. Sorry. Again, this tells us the fight's coming. You're vulnerable to falling. You're vulnerable to getting hit. You need to stand up. Standing firm requires God. Standing firm requires the spiritual armor. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." There's a difference, spirit and flesh. You're hanging with the Spirit. Spiritual armor is different than fleshly armor. Again, this, back in the day, maybe not this one, but one that was legit, that would probably stop a sword. That would probably stop a slingshot. It may stop a javelin, but it ain't going to stop the devil. We might get cocky because we think we got one of these on, when spiritually that does nothing. So what does it require? Point number three, standing firm requires God's armor. It requires God's armor. Ephesians 6:13 right here. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm," that you may be able to. You put this on so that you can stand. Process of deduction. You don't put it on, you can't stand. Some of us are spiritually beat down. I know what it's like. I get there all the time because I'm relying on myself. I'm not trusting in God. I'm not abiding enough. I'm trying to fight with my whatevers. We inevitably use our own stuff. Only God's power can defeat the enemy. Awesome verse. Two verses. I'm going to read it in ESV and then I'm going to show you one that fits with this really cool thing. "For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." What a rad verse. Now think of, who's the guy that wrote Romeo and Juliet? Shakespeare. I can never remember that guy's name. The way that he writes, it's King James. I'm just saying. King James is like Shakespeare. Me, I read it half the time. I'm like, what's a thou? I don't get it. But I think of Knight in Shining Armor days with King James. Think of this, right? It's the King James version. And there's a really cool song that has this played by a guy with an English accent, and I just geek out. But For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is what the whole armor of God does. That is what we can do with the armor of God. We have power in the Lord, not in ourselves. We have power in the Lord. It's not our own strength. They're not weapons that we can buy at the store. I love Bass Pro Shop, but you can't get the weapons we're going to talk about at the Bass Pro Shop. You can probably get a rad... I don't know if they sell swords. Someone does. Cody, they sell swords there? Probably not. Machetes. Squirrel. Bring it back. I knew going down that path was wrong. Lord, help me. We need the whole armor of God. And what is this whole armor? The belt of truth, right? So he brings up three, and the first three, he has these words in front of it. Having put on, meaning this is already done. You should have done this. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Excuse me, first. Stand firm. Having fastened on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Yes, belts hold our stuff up. They protect our inners. But what is the truth? Man, the truth is what we know about God. Truth is what we know about the gospel. Truth is what we know about reality. That there is an enemy. There is a battle, but God's bigger. He can come at us with whatever he wants. If we know the truth of who God is and what God does and what God says and how God has sealed us, hold that on every day. Put that on. Walk with that. Let that be what holds your stuff together. Pull yourself up by that strap, the truth, and the reality of God and Jesus who went to the cross to pay for your sins so that when the devil comes at you with lies, you can say, no. Jesus paid for that one. I don't need to feel guilty about that no more. I gave it to God. I repented. In fact, he forgave it and he separated it as far as the east is from the west. And he will not remember it anymore. But the devil's going to come at you lying like that. You ever had the what if? Or are you sure God, that's what the devil said to Eve in the garden. The first thing, are you sure that God said that? You ever question what God said to you? Or what you, like, the Bible would say that? Or does that apply to me? Am I sure? Am I good enough? Is the death of the cross big enough to forgive stealing a whole pack of gum? The devil's going to come at you with lies. The truth is what we rely on. He'll also try to attack you with the lack of righteousness that you have. And I say that in love and in knowledge that I have a lack of righteousness. But he'll attack you with it. But good thing we don't stand on our own righteousness, right? We stand in the righteousness of Christ. We're before God. We're not going to get into heaven because of our righteousness. We're getting into heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. So you got to walk around with the truth, the knowledge that you are righteous in Christ. And that is perfection. He still says, having put it on. The shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. That is an interesting title. As shoes for your feet. The readiness given by the gospel of peace. Okay, which means without the gospel, I may not be ready. What does that mean? You're ready for the rest of this life. You're ready for God's kingdom. You're ready for God's life for you. You have come to the Lord. You have received salvation. You have become a member of his family in his kingdom. And he has a plan for you. Are you ready? Have you put that on? Do you walk in that truth? Do you walk in that readiness, knowing that you're secure? All these things kind of blend in the spiritual armor. But again, the enemy's going to come at you with the antithesis of that, or the thing that opposes that, and you need to fight back with that readiness of what we know in the gospel. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Right? Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a wonderful truth. The world needs to see it too. The world needs to hear it also. Shield of faith. Shield of faith. Shields are rad. This one, kind of small for that guy. I mean, I'd have a bigger one. Shields are really cool. Like, they have all kinds of shields, but think of just how confident you'd be back in the day, the year 572 AD. I just made that up for the heck of it. And there's some fighting going on, and you get to walk out with a shield. Do you know how much your confidence raises when you can block stuff? Oh, they got rocks. Oh, they got arrows. They got swords. Probably going to sound like that, but you get what I'm saying, right? Oh, they're punching. Bam, right? You got a shield. Whether it's leather or wood or bound with steel. The shield of faith is huge. And in fact, there were arrows back in the day. And this says, excuse me, I jumped ahead. Let me go back. The breastplate of righteousness. We'll come back to the shield in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself and getting all excited here. The breastplate of righteousness, right? Breastplates cover your front and your back. They cover your core, all your vital organs, your lungs, your heart, your spleen. I don't know what that does, but it's in there. God put it in there for a reason, and it protects it. Obviously, you need a spleen. Obviously, you need a heart, and you put a breastplate on to protect you. Back to the righteousness of God. The breastplate of righteousness. Your protection, your salvation, your security. What holds you in right standing with God is the breastplate of righteousness. And like I said before, that righteousness comes with Christ, in Christ, of Christ, by Christ, through Christ. The shield of faith. Back to the shield. If you got a shield, and you're back in the day, I learned that they would take arrows, and they would dip them in a tar-like substance, and they would light them on fire. And then they would shoot these arrows, and the arrows would fly through the air, land on something, start it on fire, but then the tar would fling and touch something else and start that on fire. And these were flaming darts of the enemy. And if you had a shield, you could hold that up, and it would hit it, and it would splash, and maybe you'd catch on fire, you can tamp it out, but you get what's going on, right? That arrow's coming at you, even with the little dinky shield, right? You got it. If you pulled up that shield, the one from 572 BC or AD or whatever the heck I said earlier, the wood one with the steel, and you thought, check this out, track with me here, you thought it was a flaming dart of the Romans, and so you put that wooden shield, you literally picked it up, and then it turned out to be a flaming dart of the devil. How good is that shield? Not good. We need to be able to recognize what are the onslaughts of the enemy. Have you ever been in a fight? This happened yesterday. I was struggling with something yesterday. And I literally, because I was dealing with the sermon, I had to go, this is a spiritual fight. It was not spiritual in front of me, right? There were people involved and situations involved and frustrations involved. And then I felt justified. How do I get it? And then it was like, I'm not winning. Hey, wait a minute. This is a spiritual fight. Lord, how do you want me to handle it? Lord, how are you going to help me through this? Lord, what piece of this armor do I need to be utilizing? Because I'm trying to fight this on my own. You ever had a problem and all you're trying to do is think through it? Find the best knowledge you can, and it just doesn't work? I can't think enough. I can't research enough. I can't find enough. I can't get all the answers. You ever a financial problem? Man, I got more money. It didn't go away. You ever have a drinking problem? I took a drink. It just didn't go away. You have a sexual problem? I fulfilled it. It just didn't go away. Go figure. These aren't physical problems. I mean, they're physical manifestations. These are spiritual problems. But we're duped into picking up that physical shield. Now, all the things we do are good. Well, most of the things we do are good with the Lord as He guides us, as He leads us. 1 John 5, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The helmet of salvation. Wow. Helmets. We talked about that before, right? Football helmets. Think of the best helmets you can get in, gear you can get. They protect your head, right? I mean, that's what we're waiting for. And I think there's a picture, Jerry. There's like a modern warfare SWAT something. There's like this protective gear. That's football. There's another one that looks like two dudes. That. That's modern, like Kevlar crazy protection, right? Like we got issues. Look at that helmet. I don't know if you can see out of it, but I guess you can. But like, that's protecting your head. The weird thing is, we get caught off guard when we have problems. And we get frustrated when we have problems, as if we didn't have a helmet on. And bear with me for a second, what I mean with this. I think this is super important for us to get. Football players, they put a helmet on not because they might get hit. They put a helmet on because they're going to get hit. They put a helmet on because they're going into a battle that's going to bring a hit. And sometimes we've come before God and we're like, well, I don't understand. I got hit. I don't. And we're, think of it on a football field. Think of the player running off the field and says, coach, what's going on? Like, I don't know what's going on. I just got hit by the other player. It's like, Johnny, you got a helmet on. That's what it was for. Like this game involves people hitting other people. This is what this is for. You shouldn't be expecting this. Well, I don't like it. It's fine if you don't like it. But the helmet protects you. The helmet should help you even expect the battle. Ah, so what happens if we expect the battle and we put the helmet of salvation on? What happens if we wake up and we know, okay, guess what? I know who's knocking at my door. I know who's going to flip on my phone. I know who's going to talk to me here. I know who's going to scratch over there. I know who's going to kick down my door. I know who's going to knock on my mind with my intrusive thoughts, whatever it is. If we expect that, and we put the helmet on knowing the fight is coming, the hit's going to come. But I got the helmet. I got the helmet of salvation. I am saved. God has me secure. I know that no matter what happens, I have the Lord. Romans, for I am convinced, we know this song, hopefully, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor heights nor depths, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I missed the line in there. But that is what we get to wear. We walk out knowing nothing can take your salvation. Nothing. Can't snatch you out of God's hand. What an awesome confidence that is, right? That guy that was in that battle armor, he probably walks into the fight way more confident than the dude with nothing. That means nothing. But like, he walks in knowing, I can take the hit. It's coming. I can take it. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes I don't like it, but I can take it. Sword of the Spirit. We're getting close to the end here. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. This thing right here. You don't read it, you don't know it. If you don't read this, you probably don't know much about God. It's probably just what people tell you, which hopefully is a lot. But if you don't read it, you don't know much about God. But you also don't know much about God's plan for your life, God's plan for the fight, how much God helps you, how much God loves you, how much God forgives you. That is your sword. How much you can cast down things with the knowledge of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart. What an awesome sword. Well, some guy had a sword, and you're like, well, mine pierces bones and marrow. Soul and spirit. What does yours do? It'll bust the kneecap. Whatever it is. Right? God's word is humongous. God's word is strong. God's word gives us the truth that we need about who Christ is in us, about the victory that he has already won. Even though he allows us to fight these battles, he has won the victory. And we get to walk in his strength. And he says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. We probably could do a lot better job praying. Me as a pastor, I can do a lot better job praying. It's funny, even the things that I worry about most, I probably don't pray about enough. If someone asks you to pray for them, don't say, I'll pray for you. Why don't you say, let's pray now? If you're struggling to pray for yourself, why don't you text a buddy and say, hey, will you pray for me? If you're struggling with something, you should have a friend group called prayer group. I need prayer. Bing. That's it. And you tell them, hey, I'll tell you if I need you to know. I just need prayer. Bing. Prayer is humongous. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As we finish this up, the band can come on up. As I just kind of tell you this last point, be ready for the fight. Be ready for the fight. Be prepared. Don't be caught off guard. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of love and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Be sober. Have your mind about you. Have your wits about you. Don't get yourself in a spot where you're not thinking and feeling correctly. Back to Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. My friends, we are in a spiritual battle. It's there. Recognize it. Stand firm with God's armor. Be ready for the battle. Be a prayer warrior. And know that we have a God and Savior who helps us. We don't have to go buy the armor. You can't buy it anyway. We don't have to go dig it up. It's funny that Paul does not say, go find it. He says, put it on. You have it at your disposal. So let's stand firm in the Lord. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Lord, the battle belongs to you. You allow us to be in the fight, but you don't want us to fight on our own strength. You want us to put on your armor. And our own strength ain't going to work. Thank you for giving us armor. Thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for giving us Christ. Thank you for filling us up with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth of salvation. Thank you for forgiveness, mercy, and grace for when we fall. Thank you for being the one who fights for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.